For a limited time, get up to $650 in credits per line to help you switch to AT&T when you trade in your current smartphones and buy new ones on AT&T Next. That's up to $650 in credits per line. A decision so easy, it practically makes itself. AT&T, mobilizing your world. Limited time offer. Switch offer requires eligible port-in for each line trade-in purchase and service. Get minimum of $10 trade-in credit plus prepaid card and amount of device balance or early termination fee less trade-in. Monthly charges, usage, and other restrictions apply. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio, information, and entertainment, and by the good people at LootCrate.com, where May is Power Month, and you can save $3 off your purchase just by using the code PWTorch.
Are you a sick, perverted, power-hungry freak?
No. Wait, look, I'm a very well-respected businessman the world over.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy.
All right, let's before we get the show started, let's bring in our other man here, our poor TNA Impact correspondent for here at PW Torch, Mr. Mike McMahon. Mike, welcome into the show. Here's why we're doing this. I promised young James Caldwell that I would try to get to the bottom. Did you watch Raw on Monday night? I can understand if you didn't.
No, I did. I did.
Okay, so James was talking about the weird music that was playing when they lowered the cage for the Asylum match. So I promised James that I would take the sound equipment and try to work out what it was and give the listeners an update. So I figured we'd do that at the top of the show, okay? You're with me on this,
Let's
Mike?
Let's do it.
I have a gift for you, too.
I can barely make it out, but I think I read it. Now that we got that taken care of, let's get on with the program here. Anyway, we have Mike coming on, and we are also going to have Sin Bodhi on with us in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. You people, today is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast, Kids on Bridges, Sport for Kings, available on iTunes. We're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We're taking your call, 646-721-9828 here on Blog Talk Radio. Taking your emails at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com, and you can even send the Twitter questions in to me at RealPatMcNeil. And Mike McMahon is here with us. He is our Torch correspondent for TNA Impact, and we had an eventful evening of TNA Impact last night, did we not, Mike?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, they're starting to actually set up a pay-per-view, which is something they haven't had the opportunity to do in quite some time.
Yeah, and I think that they had a good wild finish to end it up. So the product seems okay. I mean, the TV product seems okay. The rating went up. It's just all the other issues, which have not much to do with the product that's airing on TV. We're going to get to those, and we're going to talk to a former TNA wrestler and former WWE wrestler and current proprietor of Freak Show Wrestling, Sin Bodhi. All that and more coming up after this timeout, because We have bills to pay, so don't go anywhere.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. but in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Hello, sir. Welcome to the program. You're on the PW Torch livecast. I'm Pat McNeil. The gentleman here is Mike McMahon. We're talking about professional wrestling, and it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. First of all,
thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Now I know that this is Wednesday's busy for you because you're teaching class, but you also have a business, and that business is Freak Show Wrestling, and it's one of those companies that we hear, you know. When the shows happen, we hear crazy things. So if you could sort of get us caught up to speed on what's happened in the past several months there, we sure would appreciate it.
Crazy things is exactly what you'll see at Freak Show Wrestling. Where to begin? You know, I just was Kevin Sullivan the other day, and he was giggling with me, you know, saying that over and above all the ridiculous, crazy, weird, sexy, scary, silly stuff on Freak Show Wrestling, it's got a really, really strong semblance of old school psychology. So when you show up to the show, what that means is, you know, it's just not a bunch of guys jumping around in costumes. It's not a guy in a monkey suit fighting a guy in a banana suit. What you essentially get is a monkey, you know, perform accordingly, and you get, you know, difference between, you know, the vampire is different than the lawyer, than the astronaut, than the space alien, than the octopus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you get a really kind of a fun variety show where the guys really get to let themselves loose and try, you know, crazy, ridiculous things. And it's almost, if you took Saturday Night Live and smashed it together with Deadpool and South Park, what you would get when you enter Freak Show Wrestling. You would see just crazy stuff, funny stuff, sexy stuff, scary stuff. Like, for example, we would have an invisible steel cage match or an anti-gravity match. Uh-huh. Or a Michael Jackson knife fight where literally once upon a time I wrestled Gangrel and we literally strapped our hands together with tape and were armed with a couple of machetes and we played Beat It over the loudspeakers and we danced around and clanged and banged those blades and, you know, a full wrestling match. Never ever, you know, not being attached to each other with that tape, you know, so there's just all sorts of crazy stuff going on, you know, wrestling the invisible man or, you know, carnival death matches and, you know, sexy, crazy, like mixed tag fights and all sorts of just ridiculous, crazy stuff, fun stuff, just off the chain, off the cuff, out of the box, gloves off, kind of.
Okay. I'm looking. Your next show is June 18th in Las Vegas. The show is entitled "Bad Decisions" at the Fremont Country Club. On Fremont Street in Las Vegas, which is where,
the Fremont Country Club
take place in real life. But,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Brutus Beefcake.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's at a really great venue called the Fremont Country Club, and the event is sponsored by. We're doing this for charity, and we're sponsored by Paragon Pro Wrestling, which is another great company that is sponsoring the main event with Brutus Beefcake, and it will be a hair versus hair match, and the barber will be the guest referee for the match, and I will be wrestling an opponent to be announced this week.
Okay, and I'm guessing he's also the guest hair cutter.
Brutus Beefcake is the guest hair cutter, yes. 10% of bar sales and 100% of ponytails will be donated to Locks of Love, care of Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and Freak Show Wrestling.
Well, let's see. What else do we have?
And if you're an audience member and you want to donate as well, your ponytail or a few bucks, you know, we will absolutely take that. And if you do want to donate your ponytail, Brutus will strut and cut with you in the ring. So we'll line up whichever people want to do it after the match, and Brutus will choppity chop 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 until everybody's walking out of there looking like Lex Luthor.
Okay. Yeah, last week we had Mike Bucci on there, Nova, Simon Diamond, and we talked about the storyline where Vince McMahon feuded with God some years back. But on your show on the 18th, it's going to be God versus Drugs Bunny versus Satan in a three-way dance.
It sure is.
I'm afraid to ask, but what exactly is at stake in this one?
Well, it's basically pitting the powers of heaven versus the powers of hell versus the powers of humanity. So, I mean, what a bigger symbolism is that, you know? And, of course, we picked Drugs Bunny to represent humanity. I don't know if that's a comment on society, but Drugs Bunny is our guy. So, yep, he will be taking it to the celestial plane. And pitting his worldly strength against God and Satan, and it will be phenomenal.
And let's see, also our good friend of the live cast, Shelly Martinez, will be taking on the Jacked Canary. I'm not familiar with the Jacked Canary.
She's essentially what she sounds like. She is muscular. She is vicious, sexy. She is definitely an opponent that Shelly Martinez, as great as she is, will have to keep her dukes up and keep her wits about her, because Jack Canary is deadly. And Jack.
Okay, and
The one everybody keeps on asking me about is our champion fighting our champion. It is Funny Bone in an Inner Demons match against Funny Bone. And everybody wants to know how that's going to play out. I mean, they've got to stay tuned and to see this good stuff. But I do know Funny Bone, and I know it will be awesome. I guarantee that. He is one of the finest, most talented, most unique wrestlers on this planet, let alone in Las Vegas. And to see him wrestle himself.
Well, that's...
What's that?
Actually, if you go to the front of the Freak Show Wrestling website, you can watch the video there and get a pretty good idea of some of what's going to happen on the show. You know, although all shows are different, I'm sure.
You're in for a good time. You're in for... You know, if you show up to Freak Show Wrestling, you'll see some former WWE wrestlers always getting silly. Like, for example, you know, we've had John Morrison dressed up as Jesus and he wrestled Santa Claus. You know, we've had Kazarni versus Boogeyman versus Gangrel in a three-way hardcore match. We've had Winter, a.k.a. Katie Lee Burchill, in a pillow fight burlesque match. And on and on. We've had Dr. Tom in a six-man tag against a bunch of gay Nazis, and his tag partner was Funny Bone and an octopus. So, you know, we've had all sorts of crazy stuff. Kevin Sullivan actually guest refereed the very first Inner Demons match, which was me versus me. And he had a blast, and he was giggling with me in the locker room after, just saying, kid, you are crazy, and this is beautiful and fun, and this is the next evolution of pro wrestling. And I was really flattered to have him say that.
All right.
Go ahead, sorry.
You've got a bit of a delay,
so I don't want to step on you. I don't want to feel like I'm cutting you off because there's a bit of a delay.
Right. I do want to go into, let's see, I want to take a couple phone calls here because people are checking in at 646-721-9828. Been a while since we've had Sid on the phone. And obviously, I'm sure some of them want to talk to Mike McMahon about last night's epic episode of Impact. Let's go ahead and kick things off in the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Sid and Mike McMahon.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Yeah, first question for somebody is, what's the easiest animal to train for pro wrestling?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
The easiest animal to train for professional wrestling.
Earthlings, I suppose.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
In my
time, I've been around wrestling bears. That's always interesting. I've seen. I've never wrestled an alligator, but I do know guys that do that. I can't imagine that would be an easy critter to show how the... I would like to actually get a real-life monkey into the ring. That's what I want to do at Freak Show Wrestling.
Okay, so what are the... what's involved in bringing a monkey into a pro wrestling show?
Well, there's going to be definitely, you know, some safety issues and, you know, health code issues, permit issues, animal safety issues, because I certainly wouldn't want to hurt an animal. Earthlings, no problem. Animals, not so much. But it is something I think would be fun to do.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, my second question is, maybe there's a lot of different, like, hand signals wrestlers use as far as, like, their ring entrance and as far as, like, after they win a match, you know, they do certain hand gestures. Is that something that they just make up on their own, or is, like, someone like Vince McMahon giving those gestures to them as suggestions?
A little bit of both. Some guys find themselves organically. Some guys are saddled with things and a little bit in between. You know, a lot of, like, what we do, it just sort of comes natural. And then as you learn stuff, then you start developing characters and so forth. And, you know, whether that's hand gestures, costuming, catchphrases, pulling moves, I mean, all that stuff is all pieced together to become the individual. Like, you know, if you were to see somebody hold their hand up and wiggle their finger up in the air, that's instant Macho Man. Like, you know, just from just that body positioning who we're talking about, let alone the glitzy cowboy hats and sunglasses and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, his repertoire of moves, like the elbow off the top rope and the double axe handle off the top rope to the outside, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so all of that stuff brands the individual. And how you – there's always so many different ways. You know, it really depends on the wrestler in question.
Okay.
For me, nobody suggested or gave me any ideas until I was at WWE, and that really wasn't anything that I wanted to do verbally or what have you. Like, visually, that was me as Kazani. That's how I chose to look. But to speak in something that was kind of thrust upon me, it was not a suggestion, it was an order, you know, lots of stuff like that. They wouldn't allow me to do certain wrestling moves because they thought it wasn't so PG or what have you. Other moves they okayed, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, everybody sort of has their own parameters of things that they came up with. I do this thing that I call the dingbat where I hang upside down, and that was actually, you know, just collaborating with other wrestlers and spitballing. It was Big Show who actually inspired me to do the upside down dingbat, where I basically hang myself in a tree of woe and I wait for the guy on the outside to turn around and I am right there to punch him upside down. You know, that was actually, a Big Show kind of in a roundabout way helped me, you know, develop that move. You know, so there's always just weird influences, unlikely influences, different, you know, people, places, things that help your ability. I guess it's, you know, the same and always so different for all the different performers because they, you know, they trip over different things. Like back in the day, you know, Lynn Denton is the guy that helped Jake the Snake accidentally create the DDT. You know, Jake had him in a front face lock and they twisted legs and they went down and then had the good sense to stay down. You know, so, you know, just stuff happens by accident on purpose in the universe, you know, and it just all unfolds.
Okay. Ryan?
My final question is, when you won the 55-man Battle Royal at the casino in Las Vegas, was there a lot of planning out for that match, or was that just something that you went out there and did with?
I'm a minimal planner. Yeah, Battle Royal stuff, there was absolutely zero planning. I prefer as much open-endedness and spontaneity as possible, but for that, there. And I knew who the last guy would be in the ring with was, but that's about as much detail as we both had going into it.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, thank you, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Thanks, and
maybe.
Okay. It's just that simple. It's 646-721-9828. Call in. We'll get a few more minutes with Sin Bodhi. We got another rest of the hour with Mike McMahon. As a matter of fact, before we go to break, we got an email question. Yeah. Okay, it's from Brian from Des Moines, and Brian wants to know, and I think Mike will answer this. We'll let him answer this one first because he didn't get he's we've been talking to Sin for a while. Mike wants to know if we think that the club, the variation of the Bullet Club, is going to catch on, or whether it's going to be like the band in TNA and just sort of fall over of its own accord.
Well, I think it's going to depend on what they do with it, right? I mean, if they can incorporate what looks like to be, you know, a Finn Balor call-up or some sort of new incarnation. I mean, they're relatively new the way they are now, but they certainly don't seem to be picking up a whole lot of steam. I mean, I don't think they're booking them the right way either. You know, they're sort of treating Gallows and Anderson like just any other team at this point. So if they get the right guy, if they can, you know, incorporate what looks like to be a Finn Balor call-up the right way and it can catch some steam that way, I think it can have a pretty good run, because the version of it, you know, that they're deriving it from has had a good run for quite a few years now.
Okay. I mean, I would probably be booking it differently. I guess I owe it to them to sort of hang on until Sunday to see where the next chapter is. And then what they're going to do with it. You know, Vince McMahon, I mean, maybe you can speak to this briefly, Sin. Vince McMahon, not a big fan of factions the way that they are done in other promotions.
Well, you know, Vince likes what he likes, when he likes it, and why or how or who or where, it sort of remains to be seen. I know he does like to change things up, which is sort of weird, because if it's what's rocking to the dance, then why change it up? Like, the Bullet Club is a cool faction, you know, and like Mike said, another tag team. Or, you know, I think they let them run loose and let them do what they do. You know, they're all great guys. They're all super talented. I mean, I know Luke Gallows very well, and he's a very talented guy. AJ Styles is, I mean, for, you know, lack of a better term, phenomenal. I mean, how good is he, you know? And Finn Balor is awesome. Anderson's awesome. They're all awesome, you know? But if you let them do what they do and don't just stick them into these watered-down positions or cliched, like, you know, well, we've seen this a million times, we're just going to put them through this regular, you know, deal and see what happens. Like, if they let them go, if they really let them do what they want to do, I think that's the best bet.
Okay. We have more. Okay, let's take this question here. It's from Larry in Pennsylvania. Actually, it's a series of questions from Larry. Sin, maybe you can kick this one off. Let's see. Question's about Camp WWE. Why is WWE even bothering with this? It's horrid. Have you seen the show, Sin?
Why is WWE bothering with what?
Camp WWE, the animated show.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not very familiar with the show, but if it's, I was always a big fan of Hulk Hogan's I was just watching some of that the other day. Ask me why, I don't know. I just was, because I'm a giant little kid, I guess. And it was really terrible, but as a kid, I loved it. And I love the idea of it to this day. So, I mean, you know, if they can carry over something like that for you know, a new generation of kids, then no harm, no foul, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Mike, you seen the show yet?
Actually, I haven't. No, I know it's been, you know, on my list of on-demand things to watch, and I get some time to catch up with the network, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I know. It's different. I can tell you that.
Son of a bitch.
I'm curious. I'm curious to see it, though. I would enjoy to check it out. I will follow up with you the next time I speak with you guys on the airwave here.
All right. Let's see. Second question. I think Shane McMahon's return has made Triple H worry a bit that he might not be getting some control of WWE. I don't think that's the case. I think that they've made it pretty clear that now. That Shane right now is a performer and he's enjoying performing, and Triple H and Stephanie are still executives. All right, third question, and since Sin is a promoter, let's go with this. Do you think as technology advances, WWE will find a way to make the arena experience of shows like Raw and SmackDown more enjoyable? Let's see. Okay, I don't know, Sin, what do you think? As technology gets better, do you guys think about how you can use it to, to add to the freak show experience?
Well, for Freak Show, I mean, we're very budget challenged. I mean, we're a small show, and everything that you've seen on video or photos or what have you is literally, you know, from my pocket. So, you know, I mean, the more budget, obviously, the better toys, bigger the props, you know, better pay for performers and the camera crew and the lighting and the set deck and everything. So, you know, I mean, like, I am a big fan of that big Titantron they have on the front of the side of the ring, you know, on the jib side of the ring there. And I think that's great. You know, I would love to implement stuff like that, you know, budget aside, if I could wave a magic wand and just start doing what I want to do, I would have that on all four sides, or I would have medical stuff happening in the ring. Don't even get me started on what I would do with my imagination if I had a budget to match me.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of great tech ideas and tech people. I mean, their video packages are great at WWE. You know, sometimes it's, not to be, you know, cheeky, but sometimes their video packages and all that stuff are better than the actual matches, you know. It's almost like, you know, seeing a really, really cool video game commercial, and you watch, and then you get the video game, and then it's not half as good as the commercial was, because it was all, you know, animated, and all the drama, and all the bells and whistles and everything. So, I mean, but if left in the right hands, then absolutely, I think technology is definitely a friend of pro wrestling.
All right, Mike.
I'm a big fan of? I'm a big fan of the lazy man movie theaters, where you can, you know, pop your feet up with like a recliner and eat a hot dog and,
you know,
sit there. Like, they could do more of that kind of stuff. Maybe that might be something for, you know, I know regular tickets are expensive enough, but I can't imagine what tickets like that would cost. But I almost picture, you know, it's going to be like those 1920s, 30s boxing matches where you've got the guys in the tuxedos all enjoying the show from the front couple of rows. And the further up you get, the more of the working class. And I think, you know, it's the working class people that, you know, deserve to get to watch that stuff more than the rich hoity-toity people, because they can do what they want anyway, whenever they want. So I think wrestling is really, really a big outlet for a lot of people to vent towards. Where else can you go and scream and boo and cheer and not get in trouble? You know, you can't yell at your boss like Stone Cold Steve Austin can, you know, or else you get fired, you know. But at a wrestling show, you can boo and scream and cheer. So, I mean, you know, maybe having, you know, a roving reporter out there that actually puts people on the Titantron and let people, you know, cut 5-10 second little promos on the wrestler of their choosing. That might be a really fun insert, but that's just off the top of my head.
Okay, no, that's good. That's a good idea. Okay, I know Sin has to go because you're teaching class, aren't you? This is about that time.
I sure am. I'm about to hop on my motorcycle and whip over to the wrestling school. It's a really great school. It's a FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling, here in Las Vegas. Other guys that teach there are Disco Inferno, Kenny King. Just lots of great talent comes in and out of those doors. Matt Hardy's there tomorrow.
And you're wrestling for them this Saturday, I believe.
This Friday.
Friday. Okay.
Yep, this Friday, and I will be in Arizona on Sunday wrestling as well. So we all keep pretty busy, but I mean, the show here in Las Vegas is really good. There's a lot of great shows in Las Vegas. It is becoming a hub for great wrestling shows. FSW, Paragon Pro Wrestling, Freak Show Wrestling, Global Force, ROH. There's lots of great shows here.
Okay, Sin, how can fans keep tabs on you and on Freak Show Wrestling via social media?
Well, all you cinnamon muffins and freakazoids out there, you can absolutely find us on Facebook at Freak Show Wrestling Official, and on Twitter at Sins Freak Show, and that's SINNS Freak Show, and Freak Show Wrestling on Instagram, and you can find me also at Sin Bodhi on Twitter. And you'll find us in all those places. We'll have all the info for the shows, and it's great. So come and check it out. Again, we donate a lot of performer time and money to the different charities. This time around, it's going to be Locks of Love. We'll have Mr. Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So everybody come be supportive and check out the shows.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, Sin. We appreciate that. And best of luck to you, and best of luck to Freak Show Wrestling. Anyway, and Mike, you're going to stick around here after the break. We have more of your phone calls and emails and hopefully chat room questions. 646-721-9828. Let's play some ads, and then after that, the PW Torch livecast continues. Don't you go anywhere.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Okay, getting back to the program, this is the part where I get to talk to you good people about our sponsor, Loot Crate, over at lootcrate.com. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. And now there is a T-shirt in every crate. As a matter of fact, this month's crate, which the deal for that crate ends tomorrow night at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. This month's crate is Power, and Power features surprise merchandise from Marvel and Warcraft and let's see, whatever else they have in here. Yeah, I haven't been able to click through, but let me click through and find out exactly what they're promising here. Come on, you guys. Okay. In any case, you head over to lootcrate.com, enter the code PWTorch, save $3 on any new subscription. And as a matter of fact, if you sign up now, there is a deal where you can get, if you subscribe up to a Loot Crate subscription for 3, 6, or 12 months, you get an extra bonus mini crate. That's right, another crate full of crate stuff. Let's see. You also can pick up some of the past crates over at Loot Crate. In fact, the March one was Versus, and that one, the T-shirt, was a exclusive Star Trek Mirror Mirror shirt. Also came with your Daredevil or Punisher beanie, and your Harley Quinn comic book, and yeah, lots of other neat stuff. In fact, this month, Marvel, Warcraft, and Dragon Ball Z are among the items that you will find in your Loot Crate. They ship to 27 countries. More info on the site. And previous crates have included items from Star Wars, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and much more. So let's not forget about Loot Crate. We're back on the PW Torch livecast. I'm here with PW Torch Impact correspondent Mike McMahon. Next week on the program, Johnny Fairplay will be here, and as threatened, he might talk about hanging out with Ric Flair after Raw, which he got to do, and I didn't. And apparently, Johnny lived through it, Mike. So that's always something. That's always something positive that we can talk about. All right, there's something else I'm supposed to plug here. Yeah.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Oh, that's right. Go VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. $10 a month, $99 a year. You get at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP After Show, which James Caldwell and I do after we get done with this, hence the name After Show, including the Wayback Playback that Jim Valley and I do, where you can sync up our audio to what's on the WWE Network, including the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including the Fix with Todd Martin, including whenever Mike McMahon appears on the Greg Park Show or with Sean Raddick, and all of that. It's part of your Torch subscription, and we guarantee you'll love it. So plus, you can get the newsletters and slick PDF files, and you can get on the ad-free version of the PW Torch website. Okay, now that we've got all that out of the way, we're bringing Mike back into the program. Now, Mike, we're going to take another question before we talk about serious business. And let's see what we have here. Serious question coming from the chat room, the home of serious questions. Okay, this is, thank you. Chicky Singer asks, Mike, do you think the Will-O-The-Wisp storyline with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy was inspired by Ric Flair's Black Scorpion angle back in the early 90s? Can I say no?
Can I say no first? Yeah.
Okay, no.
I don't think so. That was interesting, okay, though, because they built that whole thing up and then blew it off in a week.
That's, you know, we've made fun of TNA, but that's not something exclusive to TNA, doing something like that.
No, it's not. No.
Sadly, other companies do that, too. Okay, now, I hate to be Debbie Downer this week, but, you know, big question came today when Pop TV released its upfront press release for the new series coming in 2016 and 2017, and somehow forgot to mention Impact Wrestling. Do you have any idea of what's going on in the Pop TV Impact relationship, or
I don't, but
why
it's not,
it might be happening? Yeah,
I don't know, but it's certainly not good news. I mean, I think you look at a couple of indicators, not only that news today, but the fact that they dropped their replay, well, moved their replay, and then just dropped it completely. And, you know, their viewership numbers are even smaller than they were on Destination America. Aside from the fact that, you know, the product, I think, has been okay since they've debuted on Pop. I mean, really, since January, I think their show's been, for the most part, pretty good. It just their business dealings continue to struggle, and it seems as though, you know, they could be in some serious trouble here, although we've obviously heard these rumors before. But, yeah, you know, I don't have any insight on why, but I certainly don't think it's a good sign when they certainly Pop seemed excited about this relationship back in January, and now we're only 4 months later, and they don't seem to be anywhere nearly as excited about it as they were.
Yeah, and that is a shame. And I mean, we haven't heard anything. I mean, a few weeks ago, the word was, well, they have to sell right away. They're going to sell. They're going to sell the company. And of course, since then, we've heard nothing. So, I don't know whether that's good news or bad news, to be honest with you.
No, I was just gonna say, it seems that all their issues are mainly business related. You know, you look at, it's funny because I was eating my lunch today and I was watching, just surfing through YouTube, and I was watching some clips of their first show that they ran on Mondays back in 2010.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to believe it's only 6 years ago. And I think, you know, after watching some clips, I started Googling some news through the Torch website, because I was, you know, trying to figure out what the viewership was for that episode, because I couldn't remember. And there was some talk that, you know, that Hogan segment, when he debuted and cut that promo, they were at around 2 million viewers. I mean, they're at a tenth of where they were now. You know, really, 280,000 this week. I mean, they're at basically a tenth of where they were 6 years ago. you know, I think it's all business related. And if Dixie Carter were just the CEO of a company as opposed to owning it, you know, I don't think that you'd see a company perform the way that they've performed over the last 6 years with the dips that they've taken. You know, I think you would just see some new leadership be involved. Clearly, if your television audience is 10% of what it was, and obviously if they're looking for investors, revenue streams have dried up. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, if they sell or if they gain a significant investor, not only the money that gets put into the company, but just how much control does that investor require in terms of dealing with their company, you know? Because I think that's probably the bigger story, more than the money, is how much control are they giving up, and how much influence is this investor going to have if they ever do cut a deal?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a few years back during the last, the last time sale was seriously discussed, apparently one of the sticking points was not only that whoever bought the company had to keep Dixie Carter in the company, but had to keep Dixie Carter also as a character on television. That's just, that sort of gives you an idea of what's going on here. And it isn't, what's best for business probably isn't the top consideration.
I agree. I mean, I'm not in a position, I don't have millions of dollars to be investing in companies, but I think people that do are probably going to be smart enough to look at the situation and say, you know, if I'm going to give you X amount of dollars, I'm assuming, you know, in the millions, if I'm going to give you this amount of money, you look at the business performance over the last 5 or 6 years, I don't see how anybody would be comfortable giving that amount of money and then having the person that's been in control retain all of that control and that power. I just think anybody that's going to invest that much money is going to require some sort of change in leadership to put the company in a new direction, because the direction they're in right now is clearly not sustainable. I mean, they're basically looking for money just to get by, it seems.
Okay, let's here we go. More intelligent questions from the chat room. Do you think if Triple H and Stephanie took over TNA, they'd be able to save the company? Well, let me see. Probably. I would think that would be the case. And your thoughts, Mike?
I would say so. I mean, if it would depend upon the money they had, of course. You know, if they had to take it over as is, then I'm guessing that obviously TNA might be in some financial trouble if they're looking for investors and production people aren't being paid and whatnot. It seems like they need some sort of influx of cash. So if they took it over just as it is right now with no money, I think they could maybe turn it around. I think it's going to be more so depend on how much money they have at their disposal. But, you know, creatively, would the show be better? Maybe, maybe not. You know, we know what Triple H has done with NXT. It's been obviously a very entertaining show. But we said this earlier, I don't really think that creative has been a huge problem for TNA in the last 4 or 5 months. I think it's mainly been their business deal.
Yeah, I just don't have the feeling that what WWE wants right now is another brand. I mean, that's, you know.
Oh,
I could be wrong about
that. No, I didn't even take it that way, yeah. No, I didn't even interpret the question as WWE acquiring the brand. Yeah, I can't imagine that WWE would want the brand. I mean, basically, at this point, they're taking who they want from that brand anyway. They've acquired AJ Styles. They've acquired Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. I mean, it seems like the guys that they want from there, Austin Aries, they're right now able to pluck that talent when their contracts are up. Again, and it goes back to money, because TNA isn't able to match the dollars or at least compete with the dollars that those guys are asking for.
Okay, we are required to take another commercial timeout. When we come back, we'll talk more with Mike McMahon about TNA and other stuff. And if you have questions about what else is going on in professional wrestling, 646-721-9828. Don't you go anywhere.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost 3 decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members, and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
But first, let me put on these headphones so I can block out your lame voices by listening to famous explosions in world history.
All right, well, we're back with more of the live cast. I'm Pat McNeil, joined by Mike McMahon this Wednesday. Thanks to Mike for coming in. Okay, so, Mike, looking at the future of TNA, I'm guessing at that last taping they put together enough stuff that'll last them through Slammiversary. And, in fact, next Tuesday, I believe, is another chapter in the battle of EC3 and Matt Hardy. And what are we really looking at here for Slammiversary, though, on June the 12th?
Well, it seems like they're going with some rematches of matches they've already presented on Impact, which, you know, as I wrote this in the report last night, it's sort of they've hit a sweet spot, I think, in that regard, because they it looks like they're going to do a Lashley-Galloway rematch for the title. I think there was a video on Impact's website today where it looked like they're going to announce that, you know, next week. But it certainly seems that you're going to have that main event along with EC3 and Mike Bennett and probably Matt and Jeff Hardy. I would guess are the top three. And then they also started to set up Bram and Eli Drake for the King of the Mountain title last night as well. So they're going with some rematches of the fresh matches that they've already presented on Impact. And I think that's smart because they are, you know, really serving their television audience as best they can right now. That's going to be their focus. And I don't think they want to give away the real fresh matches on pay-per-view, to be honest with you. I think they're saving some of those first-time matches, especially with Bennett, for Impact. But given the storytelling they've been able to do, I don't think it's a bad choice to run with these rematches that they're going to run with, because, you know, the title match last night had an inconclusive finish, and I thought a really cool finish with the brawl afterwards too. They highlighted a couple of different guys there, and you know, Eddie Edwards suplexing Andrew Everett off the top to the outside, I thought looked good. DJZ had some shining moments in there as well. So they've hit that sweet spot of having to present matches they've already presented on their pay per view, but doing it, I think, with enough of a backstory that it's intriguing than just you know, an audience member or a viewer looking at the card and going, well, I've seen these before. Well, I'm not going to buy a pay-per-view for. They've sort of injected new life into these matches, I think.
Okay. Do we know anything about what's going on with the One Night Only series? Because I don't know that they recorded one for May. Is that finally, are we finally done with that?
I don't know for sure. But, yeah, no, I think it's as long as their pay-per-view requirements are done, I would assume that those will finish up, because I don't think many people are watching them.
Okay. Another question for Mike from the chat room. Mike, when you tell people you're a TNA reporter, do they get confused and think that you write about adult entertainment for a living? Hold on just a moment. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I could
usually
do that. That would be my choice as well. That's a good call there.
Yeah. All right. I cover Impact Wrestling. I leave the letters out of it.
Okay, so the next set of tapings, they start, Slammiversary is the first one of those, and they have three more days of tapings after that. We kind of know who's not going to be there. Do we have any idea who's going to be coming in or what they have planned for, you know, for after Slammiversary?
It doesn't seem like they have any debuts that have yet to happen yet, that are big names anyway. So I think they're probably in a position right now where they got to roll with what they have. Also, you know, we were just talking about their money. I mean, if they don't have a lot of money, I can't imagine they're going to go out and sign any big names. They've re-signed some guys. You know, I think they announced yesterday that they re-signed. Yeah, Tigre Uno. So, and they've announced a couple of things like that. You know, there were some others too, maybe a couple of weeks ago, three or four guys that they had announced had re-signed. I think the same week that Bobby Roode and Eric Young left, they had a series of announcements of some guys who had re-signed. So, you know, I just don't think they have the money to bring in any real game changers right now. I think Bennett was the one guy they really went after when they made the move to Pop, and he's been good.
Yeah.
You know, I think I like what he's been doing. I think him and Maria have been a real bright spot on a show that creatively, and I think it's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think it's going to hurt Slammiversary that there is basically what amounts to an NXT pay-per-view the week, just a few days before Slammiversary with the whole Finn Balor Samoa Joe cage match?
You know, it's a good point. I don't know though, because it's not like people are buying that NXT show as a pay-per-view. I mean, I know with me anyway,
yeah.
You know, you get that network subscription and it just rolls over. You know, I'm not looking at it as going, oh, I'm spending money on this NXT show, so I'm not going to spend it on the TNA show. The NXT, I'm spending the money on the network regardless of whether or not there's an NXT show there. It's just it's an automatic charge every month. So maybe there might be some people that just look at the price point and say, you know what, I I'm not going to spend that much money to watch matches I've already seen. I'm not going to spend that much money to watch a product of people that just maybe aren't as engaged as they once were. But I don't think that NXT show in particular would hurt their buy very much.
Okay. The other thing that comes to mind is, obviously, you know, we've talked about the things WWE are doing. How do you deal with the fact that two of your top baby faces are going to be wrestling for Evolve that weekend, and they have a couple big matches before they even get to Orlando?
Yeah, I think you have to hope everybody stays healthy, right? I mean, what a catastrophe that would be if you lose your, especially because one of them is your champion in your main event title match. If you lose that guy, you know, the night before, a couple of nights before, he's supposed to main event the pay-per-view for you. That would be as big a catastrophe as you could come up with. So I think you just got to, if you're TNA, you got to just hope and pray that all those guys are healthy. But at the same time, I mean, can you really tell them not to work? I mean, you're not running any house shows. I mean, I don't know what the contracts look like, but guys have a chance to make a paycheck, and you're not running house shows, and you're running basically three nights of tapings for these guys every 4, 5, 6 weeks. I don't think you can tell a guy no, you can't go work and get paid.
Yeah, they've already negotiated. I mean, that they've already negotiated away those rights. So unless,
it's a risk you got to take, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. It's gotta hurt to have your TNA guys out there, and I don't know where they're going with it, but it's obvious they're involved in some sort of an angle where they're going after WWE, and you remember how upset WWF got back in the 90s when WCW started using Nash and Hall as and teasing that it was that they were coming directly from WWF to come after the WCW guys.
Yeah, I've got to imagine that with Evolve, Gabe probably has some sort of approval to run that type of angle. I mean, they're partnering for the Cruiserweight series, and they're sort of
for WWE,
it's got to be weird to do it. I mean, you're doing it in part with TNA talent. I mean, that does put TNA in sort of a weird position where you're doing this semi-anti-WWE angle, but with TNA talent, not on a TNA show.
Okay, I'm looking, Friday, June 10th, street fight match, Drew Galloway and EC3 versus Johnny Gargano and TJ Perkins. That's pretty much a marquee match as well, And again, I agree. You're definitely hoping that nothing bad happens to them. Okay, what other wrestling are you enjoying besides TNA?
Well, as much as I can, I obviously watch Raw and try to tweet that, and we'll watch NXT, and have been actually, unfortunately, catching less of Ring of Honor than I'd like to. Although I've been watching it more frequently. Ever since they left Destination America, there wasn't really a market. I'm in New England. I live just north of Boston, so we don't have a Sinclair station here. But luckily, NESN, which is the network that carries the Bruins and Red Sox up here, did pick up Ring of Honor. They run them on Sunday nights. So usually catch that on DVR. And, just try to watch as much as you can.
Okay. Thinking positively, and obviously, we talked about Drew Galloway and we talked about EC3. No matter what happens with TNA, who else do you think has a really solid future in the wrestling business going forward out of TNA?
The Wolves for sure. Those guys are one of the more entertaining acts in TNA. And in terms of like some of the younger guys that they got up and coming, I know a lot of people like Trevor Lee, and so do I. I like to see him talk a little more. Helms has been most of the talking for him. I'm not even sure. Bruce would probably know this. I didn't see much of Trevor Lee's work until he got to TNA. So I don't know if he was a good promo or not. But I mean, I'd certainly like to see that develop a little bit more with him. But I think he's been a bright spot so far. And there are some other guys as well. But I think those are the main ones. I think there's going to be a lot of those guys that if. Let's say the world ended for TNA today. I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of those guys that somebody like WWE would be interested for NXT, or certainly I would think Ring of Honor would try to go after some guys that they had before, you know, if not even some new guys, a guy like a Trevor Lee or, you know, something like that. But yeah, you know, I think they've got some nice young talent. It's just that, you know, between bouncing around networks and being on a network that doesn't, you know, have the clearance either from especially from an HD standpoint, there's just not a lot of people watching their show.
Okay, 646-721-9828, wrapping up here, coming to the end of the hour with Mike McMahon. Don't forget, after this is done, or even now, those of you who like R-rated wrestling talk, go to eastcoastcast.com. Be sure to check out Travis Bryant bringing you the East Coast Cast. Parental discretion is advised, unlike this show, and that's always a lot of fun. Okay, so out of what you've seen the past few months since TNA went to Pop TV, what matches and storylines have you enjoyed the most?
I have really liked. I liked the thing that they did with Kurt Angle when he was finishing up. I thought that was pretty well done. I like everything that they've done with Mike Bennett. I think he's been, I said it earlier, but I think he's been a really great addition, especially, you know, coming out of what they were doing in the fall with that world title series where they just had all these matches taped with no real stories behind them. He was a real nice breath of fresh air. And Matt Hardy, you know, Matt Hardy as a singles heel, I think is doing some of the best work of his career, probably. Certainly some of the best work he's ever done as a heel. It's going to be interesting to see, I think, where he goes with this more maniacal type character that he sort of debuted last night. He definitely had a different cadence to his promo and a different look. He seems to be evolving, but yeah, you know, I think those guys and, you know, there's others. I think there's, you know, Drew Galloway has done some really good work as well. Probably some of the best work of his career. Although I think sometimes they don't treat him well enough as champion. I think, he won the TNA title. And then I think the next three times you saw him on TV, he was left laying either by Bobby Lashley or whomever. I've liked, you know, mainly Hardy, Bennett, Galloway, and the stuff they're starting to do here with Lashley as well, trying to kind of turn him into their Brock Lesnar. I don't think they've done a great job with it. I think they've had some setbacks, including putting him in that little program with Pope, and I wasn't a big fan of that, but that evolution of, you know, that legitimate athlete-type character, I think is starting to work too.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. You know, people have been talking about how WWE needs to elevate new guys and use the current talent to do that. Well, we're seeing how that can be done with TNA because, I mean, you know, they've used their guys to push, you know, Drew Galloway up towards the top, to push the Decay as a killer tag team, to push Trevor Lee. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been very enjoyable. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Funny. I forgot about Decay.
Well, it's going to be tough with them because we don't really know exactly. You know, we don't know what their big plans are for the Decay going forward. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't even know. James Storm maybe finds a partner and feuds with them for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that could be a position they go into for sure. I think ultimately. You know, when Davey Richards is ready to come back, you probably
see the Wolves
come
back.
The Wolves go back after their tag titles, assuming that, you know, Decay still has them at that point. You know, that's probably the one area where they're not too strong right now is the tag team division with the Wolves hurt, the Hardys split apart, Dudley's gone. You know, their tag division, obviously Beer Money was together, they're gone now or split up because Bobby Roode's gone. So their tag division's a little weak, But earlier, you know, earlier in their debut on Pop, I think when they put Beer Money back together, that was starting to work really well too. And they obviously had some good matches, but they need to get that division a little healthier, I think.
Okay, Mike, we're about to wrap up this hour. Tell all of our regular listeners and new listeners how they can keep track of everything you do for PW Torch and keep track of you on social media.
On social media, it's Mike McMahon PW. And you can obviously check out my stuff on PW Torch every Tuesday night, right after Impact goes off the air.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we will definitely have you back on again. Next week, Johnny Fairplate. Tomorrow, for those of you who are going to be tuning in at 1 p.m. Eastern, Big Sexy Kevin Nash, he is back on the live cast, and he will be answering a lot of your questions, and it should be a great deal of fun. And as always, thanks for all of you listening to the PW Torch livecast. For Mike McMahon, this is Pat McNeil reminding you to keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody.
Folks, another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
This is life.
Your neighbor Jim figured out that with Metro PCS, he gets unlimited data, talk, and text for $30, period.
Babe, that color looks awesome.
Just like he figured out that shopping with his wife will buy him a night with his buddies. That's guys' night out figured out. You too figure it out. Switch to Metro PCS on the fast 4G LTE T-Mobile network for only $30, period. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plan includes first 1 gigabyte of data at up to 4G LTE speeds. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions and data management info.